give up and let Jesus just take over.
Talk to Jesus,
'cause I know He cares, and He'll make a way somehow. Oh, give up, and let Jesus just take over. Oh, give up.
Let Jesus
take over. Oh, give up, and let Jesus just take over. And He'll make a way. I know that He'll make a way.
Let Jesus
take over. Oh, give up, and let Jesus take over. Oh,
give up,
and let Jesus take over.
Me. just in good, not just in bad.
Something within me
that banishes pain.
There's something
Hallelujah.
Yes, there's something within me.
It's something within me.
And it holdeth the rain.
That holdeth the rain.
There's something within me.
Something within me.
And it vanishes pain.
That vanishes pain.
There's something within me.
I cannot explain.
All that I know
is just something within me. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, amen. If I didn't know that all things work for my good, I might have something to worry about. I might be a little scared.
Right.
And if I didn't know that everything I ever loved and everything that ever loved me was going to be there,
right,
I might have something to worry about.
Right.
But those two little revelations there
takes all the pain away, all the worry.
I haven't got a thing to worry about.
Amen.
Such a revelation we have in this day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Sister Teresa.
I'm so glad that there's something within me that keeps me coming through these doors. It don't matter what I go through, good or bad.
No.
I'm just glad that there is something that taker in me that says, just get to the house and everything will be all right.
Oh, yeah.
So I am so glad that he put something within me and is greater than anything I can go through.
Amen.
And I'm just so glad that I can receive this revelation.
Right.
Good or bad, rebuke or not rebuke. I'm so glad that I have an ear to hear and can and take it in, and not just take it in, but manifest it out, because God wants to be manifested out, not just to be kept inside. And I'm so glad that he put that in me, because it's the most important thing in my life. It's the air I breathe. This message, without this message, I am just dead. I'm dead good, you know, and I'm so glad that he chose me. I didn't do nothing for him to do it.
Right.
But he seen something in me that he wants. And that's that seed.
Amen.
That's himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why he comes after us. Because he put something inside of us that he can come after.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that I can just give him praise.
Amen. Sure.
And because I knew what was sung today. I love this, because all of the songs that were sung today, I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because even though we battled millions of demons, and we cannot do it all by ourselves, so we need each other.
Right.
More than we ever know.
Right. Right.
And I am so glad that I can count on y'all to have my back.
Sure.
Because without y'all, I cannot do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so thankful for all what God has done.
Amen. God bless you, Teresa. Go ahead, Brother Mike. I see you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I'm so grateful to God for everything he's done for me. Last Sunday after church, I went home, and my neighbor across the street, she's a cousin by marriage. We found her dead.
Mm.
She was 56 years old, and she overdosed on heroin, crack cocaine. But she was a very loving person. She loved the right thing, me. And she's there.
Right.
I placed her there. I will see her again. She left here last Friday, but I'll see her here soon.
Right.
And you
see
know
you
what?
In the morning.
I'm tired. I want to go home.
Sure.
You know, we got earthquakes going on. We got hurricanes in Texas and Florida and Montana and Wyoming's on fire. And I say, even now, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go.
Amen.
I'm ready to see my loved ones, and I'm so grateful for the doctrines that I can lay back and rest on where to place my loved ones.
Amen.
And my friends. And I let everybody at that funeral in. I looked around, and I seen them all grieving.
Wow.
I seen them heartbroken. I said, Lord, let them all in.
Right.
I don't care what they've done. Let them in.
Right.
Because I want to see them all again.
Amen.
And I just praise his name for the doctor of where to place our loved ones.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. I'm going to sing. Who's behind me? Oh, go ahead.
I'm just grateful to be here. You know, all the things Brother Mike was talking about just gets us that much more aware that it's close. You know, the earth is travailing, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the rest. Like you said, he can put anybody in. But you know, today is my husband's birthday.
Amen.
And on this earth, he's been the greatest thing God could have given me. You know, his name means gift of God, and that's what he's been in my life. And I thank God for him. You know, I was thinking this morning about him and how that he's never been a tyrant. He's only loved me. He loved me into submission. How could I not do for him, because he's been so good to me? He's worked hard. He's raised the kids. And I was thinking of the light he's been in our home. You know, we can be a light out there, but it starts at home. And I thank God for the light that he put in my life, my husband. Happy birthday, baby.
Amen. Amen. That's all true. I'm going to sing We Won't Be Shaken. Sing that song, but just a couple announcements. I was thinking about Brother John and all the good things that Sister Dawn was saying about him. And I know Brother John, I won't say a lot of things, but he's, when you talk about somebody you can count on, somebody you can depend on, somebody that's been a real man, he exemplifies the perfect example. And just love you, brother. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. But people say, I'd punch you in the nose if you told me something bad about him. I don't care what you saw, what you think. He's been too good to me. Amen. This, I won't be shaken. Amen. We'll sing that song. This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me, and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher, the way seems so unclear. But I know that you go with me, and I will never fear. I will trust in you. Will come our way, through fire or pouring rain. No, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing. That we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Shaken. You know my every longing. You've heard my every prayer. You've held me in weakness, 'cause you were always there. So I'll stand in full surrender, your way and not my own. My mind is set on nothing less than you and you alone. I will not be. Shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing. That we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain. No, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing. That we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, oh, oh. Our way through fire or pouring rain.
tomorrow brings. Together we'll rise and sing that we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, 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 oh.
Get the offering here. Just quick announcements. Oh, go ahead, Brother Mike. Sorry about that.
Everyone knows that. I just want to make sure no one misses God's movement there.
Amen.
The pouring rain. Brother Mike just testified about the hurricanes. Fires. Just testified about that. I won't be shaking. He's already testified about the hurricanes.
Amen.
We just sang a song. How strong we are during all these tribulations.
Amen.
Going on. And that God moved right on through there.
Amen.
I want to say I'm thankful for what happened in 92.
Amen.
When God himself, no third person, no angels, God himself stepped down.
Amen.
And opened the book to me.
Amen.
Me personally. And gave it to me. Gave me his entire thoughts, his mind. And it was the same one who created the heavens and the earth. Same one who created everything.
Mm-hmm.
God himself stepped down. Just to talk to me.
Amen.
And just to hand me a little book.
Amen.
The importance of the gospel and the importance of Revelation.
Amen, Lord.
That it's a personal one for me.
Amen.
And he gave me a book and I ate it. Amen. And ever since then, let anything come my way.
Right.
I'm not going to be shaken.
No. Amen.
Let tribulations hit, that's fine. Because I know the one who's controlling all that is the same one that handed me that little book.
Amen.
He did it through he did it through the ministry, revealed all these things to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm grateful for.
Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Brother Mike. I'm going to say a couple of announcements here. We got September the 17th. Church is doing we're going to be cooking out again at the shelter right after service. And also on that same day, they're having a celebration for Reuben as well. So they'll all be just two parties in one. That's September the 17th. That's next week. Church is taking care of the meats and plates and stuff like that as before, but for the side items, get with Sister Elise like we did before, and she'll funnel the request and make sure we get all the right stuff. The other thing is on October the 27th, October the 27th, they're going to have a fall party at Brother Jeremiah's house, so I look forward to that as well. His address will be in the back, and that's that evening there. We'll be having that. I wanted to sing Call It Grace. Song's on my mind, and we'll sing this here. I'm going to have Sister Linda help us, too, because the key's a little different for me, so she can come up. But, you know, Brother Jeremiah's message, he said something that's been just shaking me the whole time. When he read that about the sheep and the goats, and, you know, anybody that stood around me after service knows this is what I was talking about. But when he read that, it talked about how you'd go from the goats to go to the left and the sheep would go to the right. But I had never realized that he was sending them to the place that he had prepared before the foundation of the world.
Right.
So when Brother Childers said saving was over,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It ties right into that.
Right.
That shows that God's grace has been there the entire time.
Right.
That means there is no surprises at the judgment. Like that, do you get what I'm saying? That means nothing is catching him unaware. I used to think that people were going to get judged for something that they did and that they could determine whether they were going to heaven or hell. That there was going to be a judgment and say, by this you did this, by this you did this. No, where they're going was set up before the foundation of the world. Even in the description of the people, he's saying the sheep go to the right, the goats go to the left. Even while they're in the line, they can get divided. You were always a goat. You were always a sheep.
Yes, sir.
That just makes so much sense when you talk about the eternal cloth of God, the eternal life. It's just so many. My goodness. We're a blessed group. Call it grace. We'll sing this song. Call it grace. Call it grace. I can't even believe how this works out. Let's see. Here you go, Sister Linda. You got me up here? Yeah, let's get you set up here. Help me out here. We want to sing this. The verse. Yeah.
It's the light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty and you got no way out. Some may call it foolish and impossible.
Let's get the right key. I think we're indifferent. What key are we? She's singing in C.
Do you want me to start with the chorus and then we'll...
Let's go. Okay. So you're gonna have to
just
sing it if it's a C.
Okay.
You just
some may call it foolish and impossible, but for
every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. That pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty and you've got no way, call it foolish and impossible,
but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle.
It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what it is, call it grace. Strong and mighty fortress, even hell can't stand against. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Call it grace, call it grace. Amazing, unshaking, this is grace.
Testified last week. I had no idea who the student was you were talking about until I went to school on Monday, and it just, you know, it hits you, because of course in the natural you're sad, especially like if you know the other person who passed away, or just the way that you know, they went. But, you know, I'm thankful to know that I'll see him again one day. And then, you know what, I need to go to this funeral because there's some people I need to meet there. And I'll take them with me. And I'm going to do my best to just bring some positive energy and just, you know, let them see the light shine within me. I mean, I'm sad that I had to meet them this way. But Lord knows I need to be there. And I'm just blessed. All things.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so very much. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Childers.
I'm sitting here thinking. I come up in different denominations. Brother Branham come up in different denominations.
Right.
He said, he told them, Gordon Lindsay was in the Assemblies of God. He was in charge of the Assemblies of God. There was Mountain Assembly and Cleveland, Tennessee Assembly, then the Assemblies of God. All these were Trinitarians. Brother Branham, he never joined or come up in the apostolic ranks. It's strange, he ended up believing more what they taught and the Trinitarians, but the way they fought one another, wouldn't fellowship with one another, he wouldn't join or connect with the people that he believed most likely. Now, I know this to be true. I come up in the Cleveland, Tennessee Assembly. That was my first connection. And Assemblies of God, I fellowship some with them. See, I come up Trinitarian, very strong Trinitarian, in case you don't know it. And but I connected with the apostolic too, because I knew they had more truth than any denomination that I fellowship with. They had more truth. And so I connected with them, even though I didn't go along with everything they taught. It's strange that Brother Branham, he come up Baptist. He first got in the Baptist rank. And then he got in the Trinitarian rank. And then he realized that he fellowshiped some with the apostolic, but never would connect. So I'm going to tell you, I don't want to hurt you. I've got more experience and anybody in here. A lot more experience, would I say. Not just experience, a lot more. I fellowship, and I know what they taught. Trinitarian, I was raised around Trinitarian in Kentucky. And then I changed. I seen, and it's strange how Brother Branham said he sent more people to Gordon Lindsay, Assemblies of God, and any other assembly. Facts about it, he didn't send very many outside Gordon Lindsay, Assemblies of God, sent thousands. Brother Branham, I want you to hear me well. sent thousands to the Trinitarian. Gordon Lindsay was a friend of his, close friend. And here I was, Missionary Baptist. They was a Missionary Baptist in my hometown. And naturally, I went there a lot. The Assemblies of God and Tennessee Assembly was in my hometown. So I went there and I fellowship with them. And the Trinitarians, here's what they taught. Cleveland, Tennessee Assembly, that they were taught close, I guess, to anything I believe. And I went there when I was 17 years old. I drove the church bus. Yeah, 17 years old. I drove the church bus, Don. And they helped me out in a way. But what I'm really trying to say, I was taught denominations very, very strong. Come up in them. I know what they believe. The Trinitarians, Pentecostal. Assemblies of God, Pentecostal. Well, even apostolic was taught. Assemblies of God was taught. But the apostolic never got much fellowship. Trinitarians and apostolic didn't fellowship at all. At all. And I wondered that. A friend of mine, Russell Caldell, here in Dayton, Ohio, he said, Brother Childers, you're not apostolic. And I thought on that, I said, you're right. I'm not apostolic. I wouldn't taught apostolic. And I'm trying to say, to help you fellows out, you fellows don't know what it is. I'm honest, Brother Moore, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to down this. Your upbringing was different than mine. You didn't know Trinitarian. They wasn't very many in here know Trinitarian doctrine. And I know it like the back of my hand. Apostolic, I know their doctrine. Now, apostolic was strong. And the apostolic wasn't strong, but they wanted to fight. They wanted to fight. They really did. If they didn't go along with you, they condemned and fought. Now, Brother Moore, he tells me he was in the apostolic. So he had a little taste of that. He had a little taste of that. But he didn't have no taste of Trinitarian. No. And I had a taste all of it, and was raised up close, and turns Cleveland, Tennessee Assembly. That's where that brother come up from, Tennessee Assembly, fellowship with us some here, and he was Trinitarian. So his friend was our friend in Kentucky. And so it was amazing that he was brought up Trinitarian. Now, Trinitarians, they had some truths. Now, see, every one of them had some truth. And I know the truth that they had because I was close to it and fellowship with it. So I knew their doctrine. And it helped me. Then your brother Branham, then he come up and fellowship with Gordon Lindsay. Y'all probably never heard of Gordon Lindsay. He was in the Assemblies of God, very powerful Assemblies of God, but he didn't have no fight in him. And Brother Branham loved him and fellowship with him. And like I told you, sent thousands in his denomination. He was the head of that denomination. So here I was. I'm very strong and very wisdom of God, because I got it all. The Trinitarians, I got it all, Brother Moore. Then Brother Branham, Strange, just got bits and pieces. He even raised up what eventually was taught. He still got just bits and pieces. Well, now I want you to listen to me for a minute. I was got more depths in Brother Branham. Y'all probably don't know that. But the reason I can say that, I got a taste of all of them. And Brother Branham, he just got bits and pieces, but in his later days he found out. Yeah. And I want you to know that I got a taste of all of it. I really did. Made me smarter, you see. Smarter, yeah, dumber and smarter. I mean, in a sense. So, you all, in a sense, need to listen at me. Right. Now, you think, you mean you're smarter, I'm smarter than all. In a sense, because I eat from their table. And it made me smarter than all. When Brother Branham, when I got a hold of Brother Branham's message, it helped me out in a way, but I thought, yeah, but Brother Branham, he didn't have all the truth to start out with. He did not. You know that. And it helps us to know that. You think, well, Brother Branham knew it all. No. No, he didn't now. After to be honest, he am a prophet. And a prophet of this age. But yet, didn't know it all. And I, I don't know how to say it. All I know, I was tested and tried. And I've taught you fellows. Well, 40 years plus. When I say 40 years plus, put another 10 on it. Yeah, put another 10 on it. And even after that, put another 10 on it. Now you're getting somewhere now. You're picking me up.
Right. Amen.
Now, when you put another 10 and another 10, you're finding out that I got something.
Right. Amen.
I really did, Brother Moore.
Amen.
And it helped me out. And you all need to listen to the man that's been around.
Right.
You know what I mean. I've been around. They say around the block. Now, y'all, now I say you all. That's the word they use. You all. I've listened to Brother Moore, Jeremiah. Now, they've come a long ways. But they have. And I've even listened at them, and I picked up some things. I really have. I picked up some things. But I want you to know it all. Y'all don't know what I know.
Right.
You never experienced it.
Right.
You're a long ways off.
That's right.
I like to say this. I like to jar your thinking.
Right.
Sometimes you think, Brother Childers don't know much.
Mm-mm.
I like to say I know more than all of you.
Right.
It's hard to say and get through, but I'm telling you, Gordon Lindsay, sinless of God, I've heard him. I've heard him preach. Now, Brother Branham followed him and sent thousands of his converts to a man that is Trinitarian. When Brother Branham was oneness of God, he still sent thousands to Gordon Lindsay, his denomination, and here I come up through it all. And the last 20 years, Brother Moore's at it, he's come up, and I've sat back. And most of you think, sit back, Brother Childers. I sit back, but I don't mean I didn't get some things. I sit back, but while I was sitting back, I was picking up. I was picking up, and I was giving out. I was giving out, and I thought, Lord, you've taught me so much. Taught me so much. I wish y'all could grasp what the Holy Spirit taught me. The reason why it burned it in my heart. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Naturally, I received that very strongly. I know more about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and any of you in here. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, taught me something.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
See, we need the Holy Ghost very, very bad. We need it. And I got a taste of it. I really did, Brother Moore. You know that. You've been around me a little bit. I got a taste of the Holy Spirit. And it helped me out. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need that. Now I'm going to shut up here because I want to hear Brother Moore. And I was going to say, Jeremiah, I enjoyed you Wednesday.
Amen.
You said some good things. And you're getting educated. And I enjoy you, brothers. It's not that I say I know more. If you only knew what I knew. I'm being honest. If you only knew what I have been taught by different ranks, I was taught. And I tried to share it. And y'all been a help to me. You really have, Brother Moore. 20 years I backed off and I let Brother Moore and Jeremiah have it. And I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it, Brother Moore. It don't mean I know it all and y'all don't know nothing. I don't mean that at all. I just mean you don't have what I have. Yeah, you don't have what I have. And I want every one of you in here know that.
Amen.
These boys don't have what I have.
Amen.
And I've picked up. So don't think that I'm ignorant. I am in a sense. But I, in my ignorance, I've picked up some things. I've learned some things. So God bless you. Yeah. 17 years old. In the headquarters are in Hazard, Kentucky. Now, I was raised about 8 miles out of Hazard. And they had not Assemblies of God, but Cleveland Assemblies. And I picked up, they said, Brother Childers, you drive the church bus. Then I, 8 miles out of Hazard, another 7 or 8 miles on down the road. So that put me probably 20 so miles Alhazard. And I hauled the people into Hazard. And so I picked up quite a bit. Picked up, I'm wondering, will you ever know what I know?
Nope.
I hope you get me.
Amen.
I picked up so much. So much, Brother Moore, that it blessed me. I'm dumb and I'm not dumb. I know what I know. And me coming through about 4 different ranks, I picked up a lot, Brother Moore. And I want you fellas to carry it on. And take what I know, put it to what you know. Yeah, because you know something. You guys has picked up so much. I've watched it, Brother Moore, and I've seen it. I've seen you pick up here, pick up there, little here, and little there. And And I've already mile hit it. Really. And God has blessed me. So I want you to gather all you can.
Amen.
All that I picked up. And I picked up so much. A friend of mine, and I think you might have been with me, Russell Caldwell. He's a very smart man. He told me, he's apostolic. He said, Brother Childers, you're not apostolic. Because I was giving him something he didn't like, you know. And I said, Russell Caldwell, you're right. I'm not apostolic. And I'm not apostolic. Brother Branham was an apostolic. It's amazing. I'm going to say this and shut up. It's amazing that I gather so much.
Amen.
It's amazing that Brother Branham was a prophet of God. And by me going into all of these nominations, he didn't go through what I went through. Now, he went through some things, but it's amazing, a prophet of God, that I gathered so much and handed it out, and it blessed, y'all been blessed. Say what you want. You can fault me if you want. But y'all been blessed. They're sitting on your man like me.
Amen.
I would never let you by thinking that you know more than I know.
No.
I would never let you by. We're way up the road.
Amen.
And you have gathered so much, but to catch up with me,
never happened.
You'd have to still gather so much. God bless you.
Amen.
And I hope you got a little bit out of what I've said.
Amen.
And I said what I said for a reason.
Amen.
And you all can think what you think. And gather what you can gather, you'll never gather all that I get.
Amen.
Brother Moore, you got it. Brother.
Amen.
Brother, you've got it.
Amen.
Thank God. Now, I said these things not to damn you, because I don't believe in that. I said these things to help every one of you.
Amen.
And share everything you get. That's what I done. I shared. I didn't keep it to myself. It wasn't given, Brother Moore, for his house up. And not share. You must share what you gather. You must share. And you'll know what I have done. I've shared. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Chos. Appreciate you, Brother Chos. We're going to sing I Am Blessed, page 173. And we'll get Pastor Moore up. Love you, Brother Childers. Showed us nothing but love. Amen.
Yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Oh, every day of my life, I am blessed.
Before you this morning. Of all the people that are in the world today, Lord, we've been blessed. Lord, to have what we have, oh, we've been blessed. To know what we know, we've been blessed. To be visited like we have in this hour, Lord, we've been blessed. Oh, God, you've been so good to us. You've supplied all of our needs, every one of them. Lord, whatever word we needed, you've supplied a path to make sure that word got to us. Lord, it wasn't by anything that we could do, but Lord, you put people in our path. You put things in the path that help us along the way that we could stand here this morning and say, Lord, I've been blessed. God, we thank you for all you've done. Lord, we know there's many that are suffering this morning. Oh, those are in Texas that are suffering, and those in out west that are suffering, and those in Florida that are suffering, leaving their homes. Lord, Father, I ask you to be with them. But Lord, the most important thing that we could have is what we're getting here in this local assembly. You've blessed us above all that all the people that have been blessed, Lord. You've given us things that people could, they're struggling to try to find. And we're blessed to have it laid before us in such a way that all we got to do is eat it. Oh, we're so blessed, this group. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to continue to bless. Continue to be with us. Thank you for Brother Childers and all that he's done for us. How he's blessed us in so many ways. Thank you for this message and the prophet and what he's done for us and brought to us. Lord, we are blessed. We are a blessed group of people. And Lord, I continually see you move amongst us in such a mighty way that words couldn't even express how much we appreciate you for what you do. Every time we gather, you never fail to come. And, oh, God, you come and you teach us and you show us what we need to know. And you help us along the way. Then you prop us up and say, Lord, you tell us to just move on. Use what we've got. And I'm thankful for that, Father. Lord, we've laid the word out before the people here. They're waiting, Lord. They want to hear from you. Lord, you're amongst us already. I know that. But I pray that you'll take this feeble vessel and use it for your glory, that, Lord, we can say something that would edify the body this morning. Thank you for your word. Have your way in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
The people here might not realize you'll never catch up with Brother Moore.
No.
He's ahead of all of you.
Right.
And God will see that he stays that.
That's right.
And he, well, he's been blessed, and you've been blessed by having him. So don't think, because I'm leaving here, and whether I stay or leave, you've been blessed by this man, and you'll never catch him. You'll never pass it. God fixed it that way.
That's God's way.
I'm being honest.
That's God's way.
That's God's way. And you need to thank God that he fixed it that way and connect up with that. And let Brother Moore bless you.
Amen.
Because God has moved that man in that position to bless you.
That's right.
So don't try to pass him.
Mm-mm.
You know, a lot of people, they want to pass on one another.
Right.
Don't you ever be guilty of that.
No.
I'm not even worried about passing Brother Moore. That's not the name of the game.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's to give out what you have received.
That's it.
And be that kind of blessing, and God will bless you.
Amen.
So I'm saying, Brother Moore, don't never back off.
No.
You're in a position, you must stay that in that position.
That's right.
Till God says he's done.
Amen.
That is true.
That's right.
And Brother Moore will give it out. I've watched him. I've watched him grow.
Right.
I've watched him balance things. I've watched it. I said, now that's God. God has helped him and given him a balance.
Amen.
On a message that'll bless you.
That's right.
That's right. That's right, Brother
Moore. That's
right. I just don't want people trying to pass one another up.
Mm-mm.
I never was in it for that.
No.
I was in it to give out.
That's right. That's right.
Then I was in it to school you and let you receive a blessing from God.
Amen.
But never think that you'd ever pass me up. There ain't no one
happen.
In here that's close. But that's not hit in a way, Brother Moore.
No.
Passing one another up.
That's what the people think that's what it's about.
Right.
That's because they don't have a revelation.
Yeah. If you got a revelation, you'll thank God for a man like me.
That's right.
Or a man like Brother Moore. You'll thank God. If you don't do it, you haven't received it.
No, that's right.
I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't received it. Brother Moore has got a good balance, and he's using it lawfully and rightfully, and he'll help you if you will listen.
That's it.
If you don't listen, he'll move it. You know, he said he'll take the candlestick
right
out of your presence.
That's right.
He'll give you the candlestick to bless you.
That's right.
Use it right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You were on it today.
Nah.
You know, what Brother Childers is saying is so right, and it ties in really what I was bringing in. It's funny, because I was sitting at home looking at what I want to talk about today, and I thought, you know, there's things that I need to bring out that I don't have time to bring out. There's things that we need to understand that I really don't, if I talk about that, I won't have time for this, and it's such a big message, and I appreciate what Brother Childers said, because it ties right into what I'm going to talk on this morning, because what he was saying, if it hadn't been the fact, you know, your background is directly connected to how you receive things.
Amen.
It really is. It's connected because you're used to it. You come your way for a reason. Everybody comes their way for a reason. And God will use your background to help you to understand what he wants you to do. I mean, and in this case, Brother Childers was saying, because he has had a background of not only the Trinitarians, but the one God, he was more versed, and I'll say this because I believe it, he was more versed in this message than what Brother Branham was from the background that he had. I know, I was thinking that last night at home. I was thinking, how do you bring that? And you did it so perfectly this morning, I thought, that's so right. It's because of Brother Branham's background. The doctrines and the things and the way that Brother Branham believed things was because of the background that he had. A lot of the things that Brother Branham believed was because he had a Baptist background. And by him having a Baptist background and a Trinitarian background, it influenced, and it's hard for you to say this because people don't want to hear it, it influenced the way that he talked. And I was thinking this last night, and I thought, now I need to spend the time on that, but I got other things I want to talk about, and I had to tie it in there.
Reverse that now.
Yeah.
Don't leave it there. I mean.
No, I wasn't finished. The other part of it is.
But I'm not talking about myself altogether now. I'm talking about you.
Oh, my background.
Your background.
It did what it needed to do.
Absolutely.
To get me. And see, that's why I said each one of us, our background had a direct effect on your ability to even receive what we're bringing here.
Amen.
It really did. Now, Brother Branham, by him coming through the Baptist rank, he saw a lot of things that weren't right. That's why he wasn't a Trinitarian. He saw what the Baptist taught, and he went the other way. But there were many things that Brother Branham taught as Malachi 4 that had the influence of the Baptist background. That's why he had predestination wrong. That's why I told him, he said, you Presbyterians, he says, he had it wrong. He said, you got it wrong. He said, I had it wrong too. That's because of his background. Now, just think about this. In order for somebody to pick up what Brother Branham brought, it would take somebody who has been in more than just the Baptist churches, somebody had been more than just in Trinitarian churches, to be able to balance out what God was trying to bring. That's what Brother Childers was saying this morning, is by him having an apostolic background and a Trinitarian background, he was able to pick up both sides of the picture. And it took God bringing him that way from 17 years old, through the Trinitarians, through the apostolics, through the Malachi 4s, into the eighth-day message, to bring a real balance on everything that Brother Branham was trying to bring us. That's what you were saying this morning. That's what I didn't want to spend 2 hours doing. Because I have something I want to talk on this morning, but I thought we got to understand, Brother Branham was not right in everything he taught. It's hard to say that in a message church because they don't believe that. They think a prophet is right, but a prophet is influenced by his background. But when the angel comes, the angel's not wrong. The angel's never wrong. When the angel comes and straightens these things out, a prophet himself have to submit himself to the angel. That's why we can guarantee that what God brought Brother Childers in 1973 is perfect. Because it wasn't his background, it wasn't his thinking. Matter of fact, it was totally against his thinking. And that had to straighten out his thinking for him to even be able to understand the real balance of this message. So the first thing that we have to understand is a prophet's only right when the angel comes. Otherwise, his background, his upbringing, whatever he's influenced by, will influence his thinking just like the rest of us. I mean, he was not exempt. We try to think that because we want to believe a prophet's never wrong. Yeah, I'm not talking on this today, but that's one of the things that they are hung up in this message, is that the prophet is never wrong. The prophet is wrong until the angel comes, because he's just like the rest of us, influenced by his background. Brother Branham had a lot of Trinitarian thoughts in his background, and it influenced the way that he preached. Ooh. Don't let this tape out. His Trinitarian background influenced his thoughts on his message. It really did. So we're on the doctrines, and I got another doctrine I'm going to talk to today. It's like, whoa, my. Okay, you would turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And to save time, I got 8 pages here. I won't do 8 pages, but I've got 8. I just know that there's a lot more. That's why I was nervous. I was thinking, Lord, I can't get to this. There's so much to see, and there's more to it than what I got here. But I want to just sort of, we're just hitting the highlights of these doctrines. We're not going to the depths of them. We could spend months on the depths of each doctrine. We're just hitting the highlights. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we need it. Now, I wanted to start reading here because this morning I want to talk on the doctrine of the one coming of the Spirit. You ever heard of that one? One coming of the Spirit. And I wanted to start here with this one because this is one of the big message doctrines. This is a message doctrine that most of the people in this message has wrong. They really do. We've been around the world. And I asked Joe, I sent Joe a copy of something that we're going to see around the world. When you go around the world, you'll see this. You ever see that, Brother Childers? Recognize that? I call that the statute of a perfect man. Now, if you look at that statue of a perfect man, no matter what church you go to in this message, when you see this, 99.9% of the people don't understand the one coming of the Spirit. Now, this is a perfectly good diagram if you want to use it for the church ages. It's a perfectly good diagram if you want to use it to explain the capstone. It's a perfectly good diagram to explain some things. But if you're using this diagram to explain the coming of the Spirit, you will mess it up. Because when Brother Branham taught this message, he had it wrong. Most people don't even understand that Brother Branham had it wrong. They get hurt at you. When I went to Africa, it was there. When we went to the Philippines, it was there. A lot of times they'll put it on their pulpit. They're hanging on the walls. They got the statue of the perfect man everywhere because they are trying to get you to understand the coming of the Spirit. Now, in the way that they teach this, they have two comings of the Spirit. They had you getting a birth. First coming was when he comes and gets you. You're saved at the bottom of this pyramid. At the bottom of the pyramid, they had you getting saved. But you were not sealed until the capstone came. And the capstone didn't come until you got to the top. Now, there was a lot of things that had to come between the time you were saved and the time you were sealed. And all the things that had to happen to you were works. So if you try to use this diagram to explain the new birth, you're going to put works in there. You have to. You hear where I read all those seven things that you had to have, the knowledge and faith and virtue and patience. All those things are elements that they use as evidence of you having a new birth, that being born again, but not being sealed.
And you know what, Brother Branham, at one time used
it. I'm going to read it because he uses himself, and I'm going to read it because people won't take your word for it. I want you to hear what Brother Brown said about it, and then you'll understand why we can't use it that way. And see, you got to understand, when Brother Chilton was talking about the one coming of the Spirit back in 1973, nobody was talking about one coming of the Spirit.
Right.
They all thought you got your born-again experience when you come to the Word. And then once you come to the Word, you start getting all these virtues and start climbing this pyramid, because the first thing you got to have is faith.
Right.
And faith is what you have in to believe that you believe this message.
Right.
And that's the thing they try to say, okay, first you believe the message, then you get virtue. You clean yourself up. You start looking right. You start talking right. You start acting right. Then you get knowledge. You get understanding. Then you get temperance. And then you get patience. Then you get godliness and brotherly kindness. Then you got this person that's so kind and so loving and so gentle, and he's ready for the Holy Ghost to seal him in. That's what they believe right now in this message. You better thank God that we had. You better thank God that we had a man who had a Baptist and a Trinitarian and an apostolic background. Because without an apostolic background, you would have believed in two comings. The reason most people in this message believe in two comings is because their background is Baptist, Trinitarian, or some kind of thing like that. That's why Brother Chilton had trouble with the birth in this message, because Brother Branham was pushing two comings, and Brother Childers had come through apostolic and knew that there was only one coming. And he's teaching two. Now you're understanding why what Brother Childers was saying earlier was important to my message. Because what he was saying to you was, because he had an apostolic background and because he only believed in one coming of the Spirit, when Brother Branham was teaching two, Brother Childers had problems with that. That was one of the problems that Brother Childers had when he went to his bedroom, was how in the world can we have two coming of the Spirit when there's only about, the Bible talks about one?
Right. Amen.
So the statute of a perfect man, as taught in this message, people are teaching it wrong.
Amen.
Right.
But when you're trying to tell them apart,
you can't. You know why you can't tell them? Because Brother Branham said it. And the reason you can't tell them anything, because they don't believe that Brother Branham was wrong. That's hard on messes people. It's hard on them. And you tell them Brother Branham was not right till the angel straightened it out for him.
Amen.
And they can't believe that because they don't understand. They don't understand the importance of the angel coming, 1963. They don't understand the importance of God straightening out a prophet. They don't understand the importance that a prophet's wrong until God makes him right. They think that a prophet's always right. A prophet's only right when God makes him right.
Amen.
Outside of that, he used the best thing he has, his background, to come up with something to tell us.
Amen.
Brother Brown, got this because of his Baptist background. That's awful to say, but you know what? They don't fellowship with me anyway. I don't have nothing to lose.
And like you said, we go in the church. They had that drought.
Everywhere.
And you know, the first thing I'd say, that's not right.
And
that's
wrong. And see, when people hang this up, they're telling you that I know what I'm doing. Right. There's two comings of the Spirit. And you got to do all these things. But when I see that, I say, uh-oh, here's works.
Yeah. Right.
There's works involved here. Okay, now let me read to you what Brother Branham said. In 1962, in the Statute of a Perfect Man, because that's the book they always go to, because they want to prove to you, this is the drawing. Brother Branham drew this. Before the angel. I know. Now, you're going to mess up my message now. I know, I always have trouble when it comes to doctrine, because you want to preach it so bad. Now, in 62, it's a key point. See, they don't understand the difference between 62 and 63. They don't. They'll pick a quote from anything because it's Brother Branham said it. Just because Brother Branham said it doesn't make it right. Brother Branham said, I'm a man. I can change my mind. I'm glad he said that. I'm glad he said that, because if he didn't say that he could change his mind, they'd have had us stuck on a prophet, and we wouldn't be able to make nothing run, because when he changed with the angel, everything he said in the past, he just threw it away. But because they had it written down and in books and tapes, they thought it was thus said the Lord. But it wasn't thus said the Lord. It was Brother Branham using the best that he had at the time. He used his Baptist influence. He used the best he could read, the best he could study, and he brought us the best message he could at the time. But in 1962, he was full of works. He was full of works. He was so full of tradition and creeds, and you say, that's your prophet you're talking about. I am, because I'm trying to tell you, in 1962, he did not have it right. This Statute of a Perfect Man drawing came from 1962.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Brother Branham said here, and I know I'm being hard on the message people, and I know they're cringing if they're listening to this at all. They don't like this. But this is what got Brother Childers in trouble. This is what they missed with Brother Branham's message. This is what they missed with the angel coming. That's why this doctrine is important, not so much for anything other than to realize that it has nothing to do with any of those virtues.
Amen.
Your new birth has nothing to do with any of those virtues.
Amen.
All right, Brother Branham said, in Statute of a Perfect Man in 1962, he said, I'm just jumping into this. He said, then the word coming from here manifests itself through each one of these beings, see? And makes this complete being a tabernacle of the living God, a walking, living example of Christianity. What Christ was, these people are, because his life is in here. They are in Christ, and their life is dead and hid in Christ through God and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, that's right, see. You wreck yourself dead, and then you're born of faith, then virtue. And these other things are added to you till you are perfect. See, you're not perfect at your birth, according to his message. According to what Brother Branham, your prophet, said, you are not perfect at your birth.
You had a hard time.
You can't, because it got quotes where Brother Branham said it. He said, then virtue and these other things was added to you till you are a perfect living image of God. That's wonderful. Congregation said, amen. And then God, through that, has brought also seven church ages to show the seven steps that he brought, building his individual into his image. So he had us being built into the image by this statute. building his image into his individual into his image. He built a complete church into his image. And at the resurrection, the complete body will be raised up and live with him forever. Because it is a bride, see? So that cuts in every age that comes. Now, in 1962, Brother Branham taught this. This is the drawing he used. This is the drawing he used. So according to Brother Branham, at the bottom, you got faith. That was your birth. That's where you got born again. But then after that, you had to work. Because you had to work, work, work. You ought to thank God what we have at this church. You had to work, 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 work. You got all kinds. Matter of fact, people disowned you. They disfellowshipped you and everything else because Brother Childers said, this is not right. I want to preach on this doctrine. I want to preach on this doctrine so you'll understand. I know how important the one coming of the Spirit is. Oh, yeah. And it took somebody who come through apostolic. That's why what Brother Children said is so valuable, and I'm glad it's on the front end of this tape, because when you listen to service, it's valuable because it took somebody who was a one God taught preacher to be able to hold everything up and say, two coming of the Spirit doesn't make sense. If he just had a Baptist Trinitarian background, it would have went right over his head like everything else, like everybody else. He would have just rolled right with it and wouldn't even question it or anything else. But because of his background, he recognized what Brother Branham was saying here did not match the scripture. Now, this is a copy of the drawing that Brother Branham drew on his chalkboard. And he referred to it throughout that message and many other times. Now, I got another one here in Statue of a Perfect Man. It said, now, in building the virtue, building the monument, building the statue, see, it starts off with the foundation stone, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, what does it do? Then they're waiting for the capstone, for the headstone. You got to go through all that and still don't have the headstone. Add. And if you mess something up, you got to go back and add again. And the thing about it is, I can use this diagram all day long because I know what I'm talking about. I know where to put everything. I don't put the new birth down at the bottom. And I don't put power for service up at the top. I don't add to it until I get to the capstone. When you get it, you get everything.
Amen.
But that's not what the prophet said. See, this should jar our thinking on many levels. It should jar our thinking that, number one, you need to have somebody who knows what they're talking about rightly divide this message. Because most people reading this message don't have a clue about it. Brother Children said they're the most confused people that he's ever met.
That hit home. They didn't like it.
They didn't like it.
The most confused people I've ever met is the people in this message. That's strong.
And it's because they don't know how to rightly divide the word. That's why you need a man.
Amen.
That's why you can't just take these books and say, well, Brother Branham said it, I believe it. I don't care if you read it. Like Brother Chill said, I'll curse you with your quote. If you got a quote that doesn't match what the angel said, then I'll curse you with that quote. Everything you get got to match. And you can't get this by your studies. You can't get this by reading. You can't get this at home. That's why you got to get here. You said, I got the Statute of the Perfect Man book. I'll read it myself. You won't get a thing out of it. It'll make you worse off than you were. Like Brother Children said, if those books confuse you, put them down. Listen to me. Why? You got to hold of somebody who's got it right. That's why you got to have a man. And get rid of them. If they're messing you up, lay them down. If they're confusing you, lay them down. I'm not confused. I know what I'm talking about. You show me Brother Branham's quote, I don't even care about that. If your quote don't match my revelation, I'll curse you and your quote. You say, I got a diagram. If your diagram don't match my revelation, I'll curse you with your diagram.
Amen.
I say what I say, even this morning. Can you see?
That's hard. Why you
people think they know so much?
Right.
And a little ninth grade educated hillbilly
has got it all straightened out.
Yeah.
That's why it was so important for you to say what you did this morning, because I knew I was going to talk on this. And then people need to understand that it's your background that influences your beliefs. Until the angel comes, all you got to work with is what you got to work with. Brother Childers was a Trinitarian until he ran into one God. Then he was a one God until he ran into the message. Then he realized, you know what, it's not one like this. But God has offices. He's got purposes. Oh, my. Okay, let me move on here. Let me finish telling you what your prophet said. Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, what does that do? They're waiting for the headstone, which is love. Because remember, God is love. So you don't even have God until the headstone comes down. So see how confusing this is? You know how this could work? If you're a Baptist, we're all Baptists this morning. We're Baptists. You come to church and you get saved. At the bottom. You start cleaning your life up. You start laying things down. You start treating your neighbor right. You start talking right. You start dressing right. You don't cuss no more. You become a good neighbor. Be a good friend. And then when it's all said and done, you get power. Remember, we used to go to Brother Kilburn's church. That's a good example. Because they used to get you to the altar, try to get you up there for service. Power for service. They'd get you in a church, and you could be sitting there for years being a good Christian, but you're in a saved condition. You need some power. What's the power going to do? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the power for service to put you in service. You need speaking tongues. You need some. All these denominational traditions influence what we believe. So Brother Branham was thinking we needed some power here. We needed love. We needed God, but we couldn't get that until after we got all these seven steps done, and the last step would have been love, which is God. Right here, right in here, you see, I got it in between. He said, all these works in here, and all these little waves come. What is it? The Holy Ghost comes down through Christ, see? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all of this. Welding this together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. He didn't have you all together. You weren't ready until the capstone came. So though you were in a saved condition, you had a lot of work to do before the capstone could seal it all in and cap you off. That's the message. That's what is around the world right now. That's why they're trying to clean people's lives up. That's why they're trying to make you better. That's why they're trying to get the... See, they even think that your own soul... They don't even believe in changing other souls. This is part of that problem. That's part of the problem. They don't think that God is actually going to annihilate the old soul. They think he's going to put those seven virtues on top of that, clean it up, and then cap it off. That's what they think. Because Brother Branham in Future Home said he's going to do us just like he's going to do the earth. And they use that quote because the earth is eternal. It's going to be here. They say that your soul is eternal and all God's doing is changing the nature on the soul. I know what they believe. False as false could be. Yes, you have.
With people in this.
This message.
That's why I had a right to say... worst people I've ever tried to deal with is the people in this message.
Because you couldn't convince them. When they see,
they'll curse you.
They see a quote, and they believe that Brother Brown's the prophet. Yeah. But they don't believe. That's what was so miraculous about 1978 when Brother Childers went out to Arizona. He said, you keep referring to him. I referred to him because this is what God's done for Fairborn. In 1978, when Brother Childers went out to Arizona, do you know that everybody, all 400 ministers, believe this?
Right.
400 ministers
believed this.
Yeah.
And one man.
And one man
was standing in the congregation of the people and had to explain to them how that the prophet was wrong. They'd never heard it. You didn't tell people that the prophet was wrong. And you can't even preach the one coming of the Spirit without saying that.
You know what I told him? I said, I'm not saying that. I said, Brother Branham saying
said it
that,
himself.
That he's wrong.
But you
I
know
said,
what?
It's not me. But it's Brother Branham.
But they don't believe that. Okay, let me keep going. I told you, I've got a lot here. I want you to understand. I'm reading this because, not for us, because I could just skip it, tell you what he said, and move on to 63. But I want you to hear his own words.
Amen.
Because they're so contradictory to what he believed in 1965.
Right.
All right. Statue of a Perfect Man. Brother Branham said, paragraph 451. He said, add to your faith, virtue. And add to your virtue, knowledge. And to your knowledge, temperance. And to your temperance, patience. And to your patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. To your brotherly love, the Holy Spirit and Christ will come. Oh, my. When you do all of those things, then the Holy Spirit will come. When you work till you drop. See, y'all don't understand how blessed we are. I mean, I'm reading it so you'll understand what the real meaning is and what it means to you, because we're not trying to get you to work it up. We're not trying to get all these virtues in order before you can get the Holy Ghost. Oh, my, but Brother Branham was. I'm reading it here. These are his own words. The Holy Spirit in Christ will come, because just beneath him, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ into the church to manifest those virtues. Oh, my.
Yeah.
It sounds good if you're Baptist.
Well, it good.
Yeah, that's what I said. If you're Baptist, it sounds good. Makes sense. You come in, you give your heart to Christ, you're in a saved condition, then you're going to start working these things up because you want the Holy Ghost. You want to be sealed in, because we don't understand predestination. We think that if we don't get sealed in, we're going to hell. All right, got another one here. This is in blasphemous names. So he didn't just preach it in one message. No! He believed this. This has to be first. Paragraph 136. And when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly love, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit. Until you get all those things, you cannot get a sealing. Got to clean it up. Got to straighten it up. Got to make it right. Got to do all these things. Then you get the Holy Spirit.
And a lot of them try to preach two comings.
Yeah, that's right.
Two comings.
Two comings of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's why I said it's only one.
Right. Yeah.
Because the two comings means you come in and he comes to you, then he comes back and seals you. All right. Now, I got to move on here. Now, I know. Well, that's what was so beautiful about what you said this morning. Because I was sitting there thinking, because of your apostolic background, it triggered your mind to say, wait a minute. There's not two comings. Let's read the scripture. John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus said here, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's what the Spirit of truth is going to do. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you.
Right.
There's your coming. That's why two comings of the Spirit didn't match the word.
Right.
It's like, how can you say that we got something else? I can't even get anything shown unto me till he comes.
Right.
If I got to build all this and do all this work before he even going to come to me, what's he going to do when he gets here if I've already done it myself? I mean, that's why it was contradictory. The apostolics understood the one coming. They knew that God comes, and when he comes, he gives you everything you need. They knew that much. They had it wrong about how long the Holy Ghost stayed. They thought he'd come and go. They thought you can get it and lose it. But what they had right was that it was only one coming. And where Brother Branham's Baptist background got him was that he thought that there had to be some things done between the capstone and the birth. Then there had to be some works in between there. But there are no works. He's either going to come or he doesn't. When the Spirit comes, he'll lead and guide you. He'll do all the things after he gets you. That's it. That's why. That's what you need him for. If you don't get him, you can't. It won't do any good to do all the works. You can do all the good works you want. Without the Holy Ghost, it won't do you any good. That's why Brother Chu said, I can't live good enough and I can't live bad enough. Why? It's not dependent on that at all.
Amen.
That got you in trouble. That right there got you in trouble. Because then for all they heard was bad enough. It's all they heard. Now, I want to throw this one in. Now, this is, I know I'm reading a lot, but I want to read this because I want to show you where Brother Branham's mindset changed. It's important to understand that. Because when you're dealing with message people, they don't understand it's changed. When you're dealing with message people, they've got quotes and they've got books to contradict you. So they've got everything that they want. But you know what? They don't have what we have. We got an understanding of this.
Amen.
They don't have an understanding, but we do.
Amen.
Now, I come over here to Broken Cisterns. This is in 1964. We haven't even talked on the doctrine of what happened in 1963. See, y'all, that is a doctrine.
Amen.
What happened in 1963 was the Lord himself come.
Amen.
The capstone came down. Our message, our messenger came.
Amen.
We'll talk on that sometime. But not today. So this quote, that's what makes a difference between us, our readings and theirs. We read quotes from 63 to 65. And we could go back to 1951. Brother Brown said a lot of good things in 1950s. You can use all of them.
If you know what it's all, but if you don't know what it's all,
don't go back there.
That's right.
Like I said, I can use the statue of a perfect man. I went to Africa and they had that and then I preached all over it. I thought, well, it's up there, might as well use it, so I preached all over it. But I didn't end up with two coming. If you know how to use Brother Branham's quotes, go right on in there.
Amen.
But if you don't, it's like bear traps everywhere. You're going to be caught up somewhere because you're going to put your thinking on his quote and it's going to run you off somewhere. And that's why most message churches can't do anything with this message. This church is blessed to have what we have, to know what we know. You don't even understand how blessed you are to go out there. And like I said, when we go out there, they're asking us questions. We're not asking them. They're trying to find out how it works with us because
Amen.
They know Brother Branham's message bumps heads. They know it doesn't make sense. But they try to fit it in with their background, their own thinking, and the way that they interpret Brother Branham's words. And when they get through that mess, they got everybody doing everything. And they got all kind of people working up everything. And like I said, when I walk into church and I see that statue of a perfect man, I automatically know you're working.
Right.
You're working. We don't have it. Where's ours? Brother Childers never put the church age up there, but he never put the statue of a perfect man up here. He used to have a little one, but he took it down and never put it up. Wonder why? He took it down when we stopped working.
Amen.
I tell you what I say. A lot of people think I'm just boasting.
Right.
You don't realize.
You don't understand.
You don't understand.
Right. See, being here in Fairborn.
God dealt with me in such a way.
Amen.
Give me truth beyond the prophet.
Like I said.
Come on.
Like I said, we can eat off of what God gave you and have been in 1973. We have been eating off of that all the way up to now.
Amen.
Most churches are dried up. They're going back through, and thank God they listen to tapes, because they don't have nothing to say.
No.
They don't know how to write and divide this thing, so they'll put Brother Branham on. Can't say it any better than the prophet. Let the prophet speak. Well, they don't understand the message. If they understood the message, they wouldn't have time to put tapes on. They would have so much revelation. You know, I get nervous when I'm sitting here waiting to preach. Brother Childers talking this morning, and I had this message burning on me, and I couldn't wait till he finished up. I wanted to say what he wanted to say because it fit in perfectly, but it had me so turned off. If I did play tapes, I'd be turning that thing off all the time.
Amen.
I'd be explaining everything Brother Branham said. He's like, y'all not getting this. This is what he meant. This is what he meant. It wouldn't do no good to have a tape here.
And oh, you would Garrison to say that Brother Branham was wrong.
You were in trouble.
Had it wrong. You know, was Garrison back then.
Well, that's why we don't have fellowship. You say, well, there's a lot of message churches. Where are they at? Why aren't they here? They don't want us. They don't believe what we believe. They don't believe the doctrines that we believe. These doctrines that we're hitting week after week are the very things that turn them away from Brother Childers. The reason we are alone like we are is because of the doctrines that we're preaching this morning. We can't say the prophet's wrong. We can't say he changed. We can't say the statue of a perfect man is just full of works. We can't say nothing.
No, you Darson.
You Darson talk on any of those things. But I wanted to bring this up because I was thinking about this. To show you where Brother Brennan was changing. This is in 1964. Broken Cistern. He said, today I was talking with my good friend, Dr. Lee Vail, who is present now, and he is quite a theologian. So we usually have some pretty good discussions on the scripture. Very smart. And he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. You read this many times, Brother Childers. That's what come to my mind. I've heard it many times. Was it speaking in tongues? It's been many years ago. I said, no, can't be that. He said, neither do I. He said, though I've been taught that, he said, what do you think would be an evidence? Trying to figure out what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is.
They had a big discussion.
Big discussion on it. Brother Brandon said, I said, the most perfect evidence I can think of is love.
Love, yeah.
Because remember, the capstone? Yeah. That's what he used to think. In 1962. I'm reading you 64. Now listen to what he said. The most perfect evidence I can think of is love. And so we go on talking on that. And then I thought it sounded pretty good, so I just held to that. That's all he knew. That's all the prophet could do. Everything. He said, oh, that sounds pretty good. Let's just hang it out. Our whole generation is depending on this man. And he said, that sounds good.
Do you know some of you right here didn't understand really what I was trying to say?
No. That's why I'm taking my time to go through it.
Yeah. You knew exactly.
Oh, yeah.
What I was trying to say.
Oh, yeah. I knew what you were saying this morning would be explained when I got up. I knew it. That's why.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know this. That's why I was over there and I was just chewing at the bit to get up because I thought Brother Childers did what I needed to do and it helped tie into why I'm going to say what I'm about to say. And some people are not even smart enough to see that that's the Holy Ghost working in amongst us.
Amen.
Brother Brennan said, I said, the most perfect evidence I can think of is love. And so we got to talking on that. And then I thought, that sounded pretty good, so I just held to that. If a man's got love, but one day the Lord, in a vision, straightened me out. What? What?
Come on.
What?
Had it wrong.
Had it wrong?
Had it wrong.
If you got straightened out, that means you were wrong.
Wrong.
See, I wish I could give this message I'm preaching this morning around the world to every message church.
I do too.
I wish I could, because I got the quotes, I got the truth, I got the balance. Brother Children said it right, I got a balance. Yes, I do. I know what it is.
Yeah. You got a balance.
But one day the Lord in a vision straightened me out.
Yeah.
And he said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the word. Neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the word. That's 1964. I read to you what he said in 1962. Something happened. Something happened. Something happened between 62 and 64. There was a mighty change that happened. And they don't understand why. The message churches.
And a little ninth grade educated.
You keep saying ninth grade.
I don't want
you,
to say.
You keep saying ninth grade education, but it wasn't your education.
No, it was.
You got a revelation in 73 that straightened this out.
Amen.
The same angel that straightened him out.
Amen.
Is the same angel that straightened him out.
Amen.
Is the same angel that straightened me out.
Amen.
Is the same angel that straightened you out.
That's why I say, listen at that man. I mean, he's already got straightened out. Now he can help you.
That's right. That's right. That's why I listen to that man. Because the angel straightened him out. I thought if an angel come to him in 73 and straightened everything out in this message, why would I want to go anywhere else? Why would I want to go to any other message? Why do I need anything else? That... Brother Branham got it straightened out. Okay. He said, and then Dr. Vail was saying to me, he said to me that that is scriptural. Now they're tying back in. What the angel told him was scriptural. That is scriptural. He said, because in John 14, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Ghost, has come upon you, he will reveal these things to you that I've taught to you, and will show you things to come. So there is the genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost. He has never told me anything wrong yet.
Right.
Now that's the real truth.
Now that's the truth.
We all in this message should receive.
That's right.
Amen.
He's never told me anything wrong yet.
Right.
That it is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Is he who can believe the word, you can receive it. That's as simple as that.
Amen.
All the works, all the steps, all the coming in, getting saved, waiting for a capstone, coming to get sealed, waiting on something that's not even going to come, all that's over with. All you got is one coming of the Spirit, and he rides in on his word.
Amen.
Oh,
is that what I have?
That's what you've taught.
Teaching.
If you can receive the word, you receive the Holy Ghost.
One and the same.
One and the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
That's right.
You don't have to wait on the Holy Ghost today. Just receive the word. Oh, my. There's your evidence. That's the true evidence of the Holy Ghost. If you don't receive the word, I don't have to worry about who you are.
No.
I don't care how many virtues you have. You can be holy, godly, kind, friendly, have all the virtues you want. If I give you the word of God and you turn it down, there's no God in you.
No.
And that's where they miss it in this message. Because they look for the good old kind priest who's going to come with this message under his belt, who knows is kind and gentle and says the right word and loves everybody. And that man's a devil if he's not giving you the revelation of the word of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, you find a man with a gift, you follow that gift and listen to what he says after he uses that gift, because if he doesn't preach the word of God, that's satanic.
Amen.
I don't care how much you tell me you love God. If I follow you and you're not following the word and you can't receive the words that I'm giving you, you're just a devil.
Amen.
That's all you are. Jesus said you can receive my word in St. John 8 because you are of your father, the devil. If you want to know if you got the Holy Ghost, believe what I preach. Because I know what I'm talking about. I know where I'm at. I've got this thing balanced. I know what the truth of this message is. And when I give it to you, the only evidence that God's with you is that you receive every word.
Amen.
Full obedience to every word entitles you to the token.
Amen.
Nothing else entitles you to that.
You see why Brother Moore knows so much, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
He followed the man that had it.
Amen.
I followed the man who followed the man. Yeah. When Brother Branham changed, you changed.
Right.
When you change, I change. When you're in the same vehicle, when you're in the same vehicle, how can you help but to turn right when the driver turns right? I couldn't help but to follow the man who's following the man. When the angel of the Lord come to Brother Branham and straighten him out on this, it straightened you out on this, and it straightened me out on this. My goodness.
See, I never fought it. I said it's right.
Oh, I said it's right. I said it was right.
What Brother Branham, when Brother Branham got the light on it and said it, I said it's right.
It's right. It's easy. You know, Brother Branham says the zeal of the hour, say I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't fault you. I don't fault you for being wrong. What I fault you for is when I give you the word and you buck it.
Amen.
Then you're really wrong. Zeal of the hour says wrong. When Brother Childers told me I didn't have enough God in me to have a new birth, I said, then what must I need? What must I do to be saved? I didn't fight it. When he told me I was wrong on the Godhead, even though as an apostolic, I didn't fight it. I just said, okay, I'm wrong. When I found out about the true coming of the Spirit of God, how it comes in by His Word, I didn't fight the evidence. I had spoken tongues. I had had good chills. I had shouted and run the aisles. But I laid all that aside and said, you know what? All that's fine and dandy. But until I heard the Word, I could not even be born again.
Amen.
Didn't faze me.
There's no higher order than the Word.
There, you know what? And Brother Branham didn't know that until 1963.
That's right.
What happened between 62 and 64? 63. We'll get back to you on that. We'll get back with you on that because there's some doctrines in 63 that you need to understand too. All you need to know today is there's something that happened between 1962 and 1964. There was a man who changed his mind somewhere along the way. He told you here what caused it when the angel came. And the angel tells you the right thing, you lay your love down, you lay everything else down.
Amen.
You'll lay it all down. Amen. He got it right in 64.
Amen.
Now, oh my. I got a question and answer, number two here. Okay, I'm moving.
You're done all right.
All right, I'm a question and answer. Question is, dear Brother Branham, this is Brother Branham had question and answer services, so this is one of the questions. Dear Brother Branham, I have been baptized in Jesus' name. The word says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does this mean that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or does it mean that I shall receive the gift definite? I should receive a definite experience with the baptism. I am anxious to be filled with the Spirit.
Oh, my.
Waiting on something.
Yeah. Oh, my.
I'm anxious. Please excuse the long note. I've been waiting to ask you this question for a long time. Thank you. And the person signed their name. They're out of town, people. Now, Brother Brown said, now, there's a good question. Now, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a definite experience that a person must receive. Gotta have it. Now, let me kind of clear it up just a minute. He knew it was a mess. Let me clear it up just a minute, see? Now, many people have the idea, I believe it's twisted, and maybe right here, the church, and the church that's listening, there might be a question. Now, when I speak of not believing, when I speak of not believing the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking with tongues, I do not accept that, Brother Branham said, because that's apostolic.
Yeah.
That's what Brother Branham, Brother Childers is so right. We were taught in apostolics to fight.
Yeah.
You either spoke in tongues or you're hellbound.
Right.
I don't care how good you were hellbound. And we wouldn't listen to anything else. And Brother Branham said, I'd rather you be right in your spirit than wrong in your doctrine.
Amen.
That answers the question why he sent them to Trinitarian churches. Because he said they had a bright spirit. He says, I don't accept that. I believe with God's help, I can prove in the Bible that that's wrong. See, Brother Childers did that to me. Because the speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? Divine healing is a gift of the Holy Ghost. And here the Beatles are doing it, see? They're doing healing. People getting help. People were getting healed at the building at the Beatles concert. Satan can impersonate any of those gifts. Witches, wizards can speak in tongues and interpret it. The jungle lands, many times a wizard would speak in tongues, drink blood out of a human skull, and interpret unknown tongues. So that's the evidence. Out in Arizona, where they had old festival dance of the corn dance, the Indians wrap these bull snakes around them when they're trying to pray to God to send them rain for their corn. They call it the corn dance. They take the tassels of corn, place it around them. Can you see Steve doing that? They take the tassel of the corn, place it around them, and make a little clout, and they dance. And the witch doctor comes out with horns on his head, buffalo horns, and they dance with these bull snakes around them, and the wizard and many of the pipe smokers and things all around the place. They won't let a white man around to see that at the time, but I've watched them through binoculars. And I've had Indian friends whom were there with their dances. I had Indian friends who went to their dances. They're the ones that aren't not Christians, of course. They dance to the corn holding these snakes. And the wizard comes out and cuts himself with knives and everything else. And they finally get into the spirit and speak in tongues and interpret it. He said, I could take you within 3 or 4 hours from here, from now, where a medium would lay in a pencil on a table and go into a trance of all kinds of things, and wave their hands, and the pencil would raise up and write in unknown tongues. And the wizard would stand and tell you what it says. Now, that's no evidence of the Holy Ghost. See, you can't rely on that. You can't rely on the fruits of the Spirit because the fruits of the Spirit is love. And the Christian Science exercise more love than anybody I know of. And they even deny Jesus Christ being divine.
Yeah.
There goes your love evidence.
Right.
He said you can't even rely on love. There's only one evidence of the Holy Spirit that I know of. And that's the genuine faith in the promised word of the hour.
Amen.
That was question and answer number 2, preached in 1964. That's not on, but
4.
1964.
Amen.
A lot different than 1962.
Right.
I wanted to take the time to read it because I wanted you to know this for yourself.
Right.
That Brother Branham believed this until sometime between 62 and 64, and Jeremiah's chewing at the bit. Look at him. He's grinning. He's like, I got 63. All right. First, yes.
You literally stopped in the middle of service and said, we haven't talked about 1963 yet. So I just believe it's God.
I just know he sits over there, Jeremiah just chewing at the bit, smiling big. I'm like, he's got something up his sleeve. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. There's only one Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you get the Spirit, you get the Spirit. You don't get the Spirit and wait for Him to come and cap it. You're capped when you get it. That's why the Scripture has to tie in to what you believe. That's why Brother Childers, as an apostolic, couldn't swallow two coming of the Spirit.
No.
That's why it bothered him, because he loved the message. He loved the prophet. He loved what he was hearing, but he could not swallow two comings of the Spirit, and it was bothering him. And we went to that bedroom that night. He said, God, what's the matter here? What's going on? I'm reading the Word of God. It says one coming, one Spirit, and I'm hearing the prophet say two coming, two Spirit, and the angel of the Lord had to come and say the prophet was wrong. Amen. And you know why the angel of the Lord had to say it? Because nobody else would. That's why I told Brother Chilton to take your eyes off of every man.
I got in trouble.
You really got in trouble.
Y'all don't really realize how I was fought over this.
Yes, sir. You were fought over
traveling it. Traveling around. They wouldn't let me preach.
No, they still don't. To this very day. Fought. This very day, we still don't get to preach. That's why we don't fellowship with many churches. Because they don't believe this. All right. Brother Branham, I'm gonna skip on down here. I'm moving on. I'm getting ready to close. I think you got my point. Okay. Can't do enough good works. Brother Branham said in 1963, and how can I overcome? He said, and there always been an ark in God's economy. There was an ark in the days of Noah for the saving of the people. There was an ark in the days of the law, ark of testimony. In the days of the law that followed the ark. There is a third dispensation now, like Noah's time, like Lot's time, and now in this time, there is an ark now. And that ark is not a denomination, neither is it good works that you do. It's by one Spirit, Romans 8:1, we are baptized in one body, and the domain of that kingdom, one spiritual baptism, no matter how good, how bad. Sounds like Brother Childers?
Yeah.
No matter how good, how bad, whatever, you're in the kingdom by the Holy Ghost baptism.
Has nothing to do with
it. Amen. Huh?
Has nothing to do with those works.
Nothing to do. When I'm judging you all, and I do, I'm not judging you by your good works or bad works.
No.
I'm judging you by the word that I give you, what you do with it.
That's right.
That's how I judge it. Okay. By this says, no matter how good, how bad, whatever, you're in the kingdom by the Holy Ghost baptism. See? That's the only way you overcome. It's all that is under the shed blood is overcomers. Because you cannot overcome yourself. It's He that overcomes for you. You're resting. How will I know then, Brother Branham, that I'm in there? Watch what kind of a life you're living. Now see, first thing people do when they read this, they go back to the statue of perfect man. Watch what kind of life you're living. He's talking about how's your life following the word. Watch what kind of life you're living. Just look around. See if it just lives out through you automatically. Or you have to strain and pull. See if you're doing it. But don't try to do it. Don't you ever try to do it. See, that's what they were doing down through the ages. They were trying to make themselves perfect enough for God to come and seal you. But Brother Branham's saying here in 1963, and how can I overcome? You stop doing your work. You stop trying to do it. When the Holy Ghost comes, no matter how good or bad you think you are, He will come and His very life will start manifesting out through you. You will fulfill the word with every heartbeat. Automatically. You don't have to force it. You don't have to push it. You don't have to make it. You don't have to try to bring it. Just bring it and follow the word. As the word steps forth, you step forth. As the word moves, you move. And when the word turns a corner, you turn a corner with the word. That's what you got to do.
Amen.
It said here, just like putting a little baby's arm in a sleeve hole. You see, he just got up and down and over and everything else. See, he can't do it. Put on your coat, honey. He can't do it. Little arm is up, down, round. It takes your steady hand. Oh, how glad I am. I can yield my hand to the Father.
Amen.
Said, Lord Jesus, I can't do it. And I can't do it there. You help me. Put the coat on me. I quit trying. Just let him do it, see? He does it automatically, Brother Childers. If that little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it. I can do it. I've seen people like that. And he just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you. Neither can I. But if we just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him.
Amen.
Here, Lord, here am I. Just let me be nothing. I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's overcoming. Just surrendering. Whatever God wants, I want. Wherever he wants to move me, I'll go. I'm not bucking. I'm not fighting. I've never fought one thing he wanted to do in this since I've been here. I just, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever job, whatever family, whatever friends, whatever. Whatever word. It's all about him. And if you can do that, then God can put your coat on for you.
Amen.
One spirit, we're all baptized in one body. Won't read it. It's just a quote. Got one last quote, and then I'm closing. And God's chosen provided God's chosen place of worship in 1965. Now, we want to find how we get into him. How do we get into this place of worship? 1 Corinthians 12 settles it. For by one Spirit, not by one church, not by one creed, not by one pastor, not by one bishop, not by one priest, but by one Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, which is the body of Jesus Christ, and subject to every gift that lays in the body. Yes, sir. No joining, no reciting of creeds, no pumping up. Don't have to pump it up. Don't have to make it work. See, the thing is, yeah, brother, but you got to listen to your pastor. The Holy Spirit's in your pastor. You got to rightly divide it or you'll mess it up. You'll mess it up. That's the only way it'll work. You cannot bypass your pastor. You heard what he said today. You stay behind your pastor and you follow the leadership of the word that's coming forth in that pastor or you will mess it up. Otherwise, you don't need the fivefold ministry. So don't misinterpret what Brother Branham's saying here. He's not saying you don't need your pastor. He's saying if your pastor ain't following the word, then you follow the word. But that's not me. I'm the word. I'm following the word. So you follow me as I follow Christ. No creeds, no dogmas, no man-made ideas, none of your own thinking. You stay behind the word. And the word is going to come in this hour through a man. But you need, your job is to find a man, Brother Childers. I found the man. And that man brought a word upon word. If I'm not the man, then go find the man. But as for me and my house, I will serve God. So don't misinterpret what Brother Branham's saying here. Don't misinterpret it. Because when he's saying that you don't follow man, he's not saying don't follow man. I follow man. I follow Brother Childers. I'm glad to say it. But I'm not following Brother Childers, the man. I'm following the word that's in the man. And that's what you should be following with me. And when you buck me, you're bucking the word. When you deny me, you deny the word. When you don't want me, you don't want the word. That's the same way it works with Brother Childers. That's the same way it works with Brother Branham. So don't interpret what I'm saying to your own damnation. You better follow the word, because the word is in me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, sir. No joining, no reciting of creeds, no pumping up, letting down, handshakes, or nothing else. But by birth, we are baptized in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. By one Holy Spirit, we are baptized into one body. One coming of the Spirit. Brother Branham had it wrong. I can gladly say that.
Yeah.
I had it wrong. I can gladly say that. You had it wrong too. I can gladly say that. But the thing I love about it, Brother Branham said the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong. That's the zeal of the hour. When you got the zeal of the hour and you know that you're wrong, all you got to do is turn around. Brother Childers always told me repentance, just turn around. I'm wrong, and you're right. So I wanted to bring this doctrine this morning because all of these doctrines that we're bringing, there's none of them that God didn't reveal to Brother Childers in 1973. Not one of them. Every one of these. Now, I could talk on this for days, but I'm just highlighting. Jeremiah's highlighting. Jay's highlighting. But these are the things that Brother Childers got out of that meeting with the angel in 1973. It cost him everything. It cost us everything. It'll cost you everything. But the thing is, stay with the word. I always told y'all, I said, I will be here and I will hold fast to the revelation that God gave Brother Childers and make sure that it's preached here, whether you're here or not. That's my job. When I'm through, Jeremiah's job is to hold fast to the revelation that the angel gave Brother Childers, the same angel that gave Brother Branham that same revelation. That's our job. That is our job. I'm not here to pat you. I'm not here to make friends with you. I'm not here to try to babysit you. Sometimes I get calls from people. They want me to solve their marriage problems. I'm not here to solve your marriage problems. If your marriage doesn't make it, the word's still right. If your family don't make it, the word is still right. If you fall asleep and don't want to go no more, the word is still right. I've lost a lot more people than are here. I really have. You look along the wall. There's a lot more people that's left here than have stayed, Brother Childers. But I'm not here because of numbers. I'm not here because I need a friend. I'm here because the word is here. And this thing is so real that you need to understand how important Fairborn is to this message. If they don't have it right anywhere in the world, we've got it right here. If they don't know, and Brother Childers, you've been east and I've been west. It's neither place. They're all over the place. They got the statue of perfect man everywhere. They're trying to get people to live good. They're trying to do this. They're trying to do that. And there's a ditch on either side. You cannot go without a man, but yet you don't need a man. That's a hard way to go. But that's the way. It's a revelation. That's why Brother Brown said that woman tried to walk that road with the high heel shoes. It wasn't because she was wearing high heel shoes. He wasn't trying to talk about the way she was dressed. He was trying to say that she's trying to walk somewhere that she wasn't ordained to walk.
Right. That's right.
You can't do this without God doing it.
Amen.
Brother Childers' background, like he said this morning, he said, I don't even know why, but God used his background because it was exactly the background needed to balance out what it stopped him. It really did. It stopped him because he saw the message people going this way, and he knew the word said this, and he was trying to figure out, had he not been an apostolic, he wouldn't have been able to see that. But thank God he was an apostolic. Thank God he has it. He's right. We'll never catch him. We'll never do what he's done. But we don't have to do what he's done. He was specifically ordained for the role that he played. Had to have it. We couldn't have what we have this morning if he hadn't been brought up the way he was brought up. You couldn't have what you have this morning if I hadn't been brought up the way I was brought up. See, God does everything. That's why all things work together. Because your very background, your nature, your friends, your family, all that plays into what God needs you to do for him. And because Brother Childers was made up like he was just stubborn enough not to go with the big name brand preachers. He was just hard-headed enough to stand on his own. And when the angel got a hold of him, he was willing enough to submit to the angel. Yeah. And when he was willing enough to submit to the angel, he was bold enough to take what the angel gave him and take it to the world, even though the world turned him down. And I am the same way. I am the same way. I'm just dumb enough to believe it and bold enough to preach it. That's just me. That's just me. And I ain't worried about name, number, whether they like me or not, whether they shut me out or invite me. It doesn't even matter. None of those things matter. Come on, musicians.
God knows what he's doing.
God knows what he's doing even in our very makeup.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing in our background. He knows what he's doing and what he's bringing us through. He brings us through things to bring us to a point where we can submit and fulfill the word of God. That's all that this is about. It's not about buddies. It's not about friends. It's not about, matter of fact, when I pray that when we get done, we get a body change and get out of here. You know, that's what we are about. And that's why people have looked at us from around the world for guidance. They write us, Brother Childers. They ask questions. They want to know. They look at our webpage, and we're putting stuff out there, and we want them to be able to see it, want them to get the answers that they need, because this world is stuck. This message is stuck. And they can't get, that's why they're leaving it. They've tried it for 20, 30 years. And they tried to climb this ladder, waiting on the capstone, waiting on the Lord to come and do all these things. And they think that he's not going to do it. So they've given up. Many of them turned their books back in, turned their churches down, walked away. Why? Don't even believe Brother Branham anymore. But Fairborn does. He made us to know him. Wonderful ways, page 18. He's created us. He's created us specifically for our job. And we will do our job. We will. We're going to do our job. And it's not dependent on anything else, Brother Childers. This message is self-sufficient. That's what I love about it. It's self-sufficient.
Tried so hard to move me from what I believe. They fought me.
I know.
They loved me.
Yeah.
They've done everything.
Everything.
And never could change it.
No.
And I come out as a true believer.
As a winner. And I can say the same thing. They've tried all kind of things. But I'm still here. I'm still here. And I still believe the same revelation that God gave me when I came in 1980. When I said it was right in 1980, it was right. When God said, this is my home, he's been right. Amen. Come back tonight expecting. These doctrines turn me on. I mean, they really are. But that's what you got to. I want us to talk about them, because now you'll understand why Brother Childers has been alone.
Yeah.
Now you understand why he's fought for all these years, because people don't want doctrine. That's what Timothy says.
I went on. I didn't cry.
Mm-mm.
Just try.
Just keep on pushing. That's it. That's what you can do. Because you know, and for years I would try to herd people like. Just cattle, just try to hold them all in. And God told me, he said, stop that. He said, you lead. You go in the direction that the word's going, and the sheep will follow. And I started doing that, and it's been much easier. We're moving much faster, making much better headway. And enjoying the ride, Brother Childers. This is good. I'm enjoying this because I know there's a lot of people who weren't here during those times when you were going through these messages and these doctrines. And I'm thinking, these are the very foundational doctrines who make us who we are.
Amen.
That's why we're as strong as we are. That's why when we meet people in a message and they try to tell you, oh, you got to clean, you got to do it. And I'm like, no, I already know better.
You never seen me, after God dealt with me, ever try to follow a man.
Never followed another one.
And
no.
Yet, I received a man.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the way
I
it works.
Never followed.
And see, that's what they never understood about me, because they see me, they think I'm following a man.
I know.
Because I follow you.
Yeah.
And
but you're not.
But I'm not. I'm following the word.
Right.
It just happened to be in you.
And you know, that don't bother me.
No.
What would bother me is seeing you turn the word down.
That's it.
But I haven't seen that.
That's it. That's the only evidence. When you turn the word down, you're through. You really are. Amen. Come back tonight, 7. Don't forget, come expecting. And don't forget the announcements coming up. We got things going on. Pray for the earlies. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so the church will put another, we'll make it 2,000 and send it. Then we're going to use the place that John's working through their work. They're sending some things down, so I wanted somebody that's reputable. So we're going to send it, John. We'll make sure that happens really quick, because we got another hurricane coming up through Florida. And pray for the earlies. I've been texting her. She was originally going to stay home. And the eye of the storm is going right through Sarasota. So she said she's moving. They can't stay there, so they're going to her sister's house in Tennessee. So keep them in your prayers and pray that God keeps their family safe and their home safe, because, you know, you could lose it all. You can lose it all. So pray for them. And I'll let you know how they fend once I start hearing from them. She texts me a lot. So she's maybe listening this morning. If she is, we're praying for them and keep them in your prayers. So keep that in mind. And we'll get that money sent right away, because we may be collecting again for the other side of the country. This world is falling apart. It's falling apart. And we as humanity need to do our part.
Right.
Even though we're not part of the world, I still have a heart for humanity. Amen. Never want to lose that, Brother Childers. You went to the early.
I stayed there with them.
Right.
They are one of some of the finest people.
And they take care of us.
Yeah, and they took care of me.
Yeah, so definitely want to keep them in their
and
prayer.
And Brother Moore said, now you're going to preach. I said, preach? And I couldn't hardly speak. I had a stroke.
Right there on the couch.
And I went there to do it, and they intended for me to do it.
Yeah.
They are the finest people I've ever met.
And they tune in every service.
Yeah.
So they're listening to every service they can. They may be on the road right now, but just keep them in your prayers.
And they said, you're going to preach. So I tried to preach.
You did.
And I would just splutter. And they said, you're going to preach. Okay. You know what? Whatever.
Yeah. Well, Lord bless.
God bless.
Yeah. And just pray for them. And once I find out more of how they're fending, I'll let you know.
Sandy said, get him back here. Get him home. And Leroy, Glenn's brother, he's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
They were waiting on me. And Leroy said, Brother Earl, I've always thought a lot of you. Said, we want you to go and be checked. You must go. And I never rode an ambulance in my life. So they said, you got to go. So they put me in the ambulance and hauled me to the hospital. And this doctor, he said, you're kind of stubborn. I didn't want to be committed. I said, no. I want to go back home. I want some rest. I was wore out.
Mm-hmm.
3 or 4 days in Florida with a stroke.
Right.
They said, you should have never left with a stroke. And this little doctor, he said, I'll let you go home if you'll promise me tomorrow you'll go to your home doctor. I said, I'll do it. And God bless, but I got over it in a sense.
Yeah.
I got some after effects of it. But
you're doing good. You're doing good.
But God bless.
He's been good. Amen. Amen. Yeah, remember the earlys, and I'll keep you informed once I find out any information for them. Amen. He made me to know him wonderful ways.
He made us to know.